In the seventh chapter of Genesis, we come to the beginning of the flood. There are many traditions about the flood. The Babylonians had one, the Egyptians another. These traditions are based upon the historical facts of the flood rather than Genesis account being based upon tradition. You know, one thing that helps me concerning the flood, turn to Luke chapter 17. Verse 26 and 27. Now this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. I don't know whether that means anything to you or not. But it does to me, and we read, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. That's the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Conclusive. There can be no question. That's what the Lord said about it. Now let's look in chapter 7 of the book of Genesis. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. We read in chapter 6 that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Connecting that verse with this verse, what we have is that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And then the Lord spoke to Noah, and Noah believed what the Lord said. In the 11th chapter of Hebrews, we read that it was by faith that Noah built the ark. Now, Noah here is called righteous. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. In Noah's day, to find grace in the eyes of the Lord, and then to have the Lord speak to you, and then to believe what the Lord has said and conform to the word of the Lord, was to make one righteous. And those of us who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ have found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and we are to be numbered among the righteous if we are obedient to the commandments of our Lord. Not only was Noah the only one that found grace in the eyes of the Lord, but he was the only one that had conformed to the law of the Lord. Now the Lord continues and says, of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and the female. Of the beasts that are not clean, by two, the male and the female. We find immediately after the flood that animals were given to man for meat to eat. And we find also that the order of sacrifice was instituted, and they needed more of the clean animals for food and for sacrifices than of the unclean. For that reason, we just have the two, male and female, of the unclean, but seven of each among the clean. Of the fowls also there by seven. That once again would be the clean. And to keep feet alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I'll cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Every living substance that I've made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. The expression living substance can be translated everything that standeth upon feet, or that has the feet. Every living substance of that. Now Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters was upon the earth. Noah went in, his sons, his wife, and his son's wife with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Of clean beasts and of beasts that are not clean and of fowls and of everything that creepeth upon the earth. There went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, male and female, as God had commanded Noah. Of interest is expression in verse 9. There went in. They didn't have to be driven in. They didn't have to be rounded up. Manifestly, the Lord had moved upon them. They went into the ark. No coercion on the part of man or direction on the part of man at all. They went in. It came to pass after 7 days, the waters of the flood were upon the earth. We read concerning the ark that the Lord himself closed the door to the ark. But verse 10, after 7 days. 7 days after Noah and his family, 7 days after the animals, the fowls, all the people and things here, 7 days after all of them entered the ark, the door remained open. 7 days. Anybody or anything that wanted in could have gone in. It came that day when the Lord closed that door. The latter part of the 16th verse. And the Lord shut him in. God shut the door. We read the Revelation, there's a door which when God has shut, no man can open, and there's a door which when God has opened, no man can shut. They're in the ark. 10,000 questions can be asked concerning that experience that man cannot answer. How the ark could be ventilated with the one little window above. All the animals and the fowls, other living creatures, could live in there for a little over a year. Some people get disturbed and worried about whether any creatures were born on the ark during that particular time. As I said, thousands of questions can be asked. The just shall live by faith. You don't have to understand all of those things. Suffice it to know that these went on, and as far as Scripture goes, these are the ones that came off. Came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up and the windows of heaven were opened. Rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, the occasion of the flood. First of all, it calls attention to the fact that the fountains of the deep were broken up. Tidal waves, volcanic eruption, the whole deep broken up. The flood was a cataclysm, a catastrophe, something that transpired suddenly. The waters that flooded the earth coming from two sources, the fountains of the deep being broken up and the waters sent up from the ocean, and then the windows of heaven opened and the waters coming down. As we have described on previous occasions, according to the first chapter of Genesis, in the setting up of the universe, the Lord God Almighty separated the waters in the heavens from the waters on the earth and put a firmament between them, firmament which you call heaven. And that canopy of waters above the earth and above the heavens was a canopy that diffused the light and the heat rays, so that the sun shining upon that water caused the light to go around through the canopy of the heavens. And as we read in the 14th chapter of Zechariah, it produced occasion, you couldn't tell whether it was day or whether it was night. The light about the same. Not only that, the heat rays were diffused so that it was as warm at the North Pole and the South Pole as at the equator. Hothouse conditions prevailing around the world. There's a glacier up through Canada and on up toward the North Pole. It's called the Grasshopper Glacier. It's filled with frozen grasshoppers. Mastodon, saber-toothed tiger, mammoth elephant have been found in the northernmost part of Siberia with their flesh preserved by freezing. Flesh being thawed, fed to dogs, and dogs would eat it. Mastodons have been found frozen with straw and grass in their mouth. What happened? Happened so suddenly that they were frozen almost instantly. But as that canopy of water came down from the heavens upon the earth, the rays of the sun being permitted to strike upon the earth from the water, create air currents, resulting in change of atmospheric conditions, producing freezing that they say was practically instantaneous. Not only that, that canopy of water filtered out a very important ray of the sun, the ray that causes deterioration of live flesh and decomposition of the dead flesh, fermentation of certain chemicals. We'll read ere long of Noah's drunkenness occasioned by the wine which he made prior to the flood, which was non-intoxicating, but after the flood was intoxicating, of which he knew nothing until after he had drunk it and become drunken. Now in Matthew, when the disciple Peter in particular asked the Lord what they were going to get in the days to come for their faithfulness to the Lord and their sacrifices which were made, the Lord said that in the regeneration, in the third chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, Peter tells the people that in the regeneration, certain things will take place. The regeneration or the restoration speaks of a day when this earth will be put back in the same condition that it was before the flood. That's going to involve the taking from the earth and putting back into the heavens that canopy of water. That'll be done by mountains of fire being hurled into the ocean and the sea, vaporizing the water, and it goes up in vapor and then liquefies. We read in one part of the Revelation, a third of the waters, a third of green vegetation which is filled with water. All of that being consumed by fire. But the regeneration or the restoration of all things involves the putting back of things like they were in these days. How many of you get National Geographic? The reason I ask, the January issue is one of the most intriguing things I've ever seen. You've heard me speak for years about the earth being one solid piece and then divided into continents. Well, the January issue of National Geographic shows maps how the earth was, according to them, when it was one piece. It's something. It's really something. Of course, I had read years ago of a survey being conducted by the Navy wherein they had charted the floor of the Atlantic Ocean and had found a range of mountains the whole length of the Atlantic Ocean, and they had concluded that that's where the earth was divided and left this range of mountains. But you do well if you can pick up the January issue of National Geographic 73, just to look at the maps and read a little bit of the things that one of you entirely separate and divorced from the scriptural account. But the waters, all of that water came down. Of course, one thing that arises in the study of the flood, there are those pseudo scholars that contend that the flood was just a local affair, kind of like we had here a few weeks ago. And it didn't cover the whole earth. It just covered the area around in the land of Palestine, around in the area over there where Noah and his family lived. And it didn't cover the whole earth. And they speak with great show of wisdom of the impossibility of the flood being universal, but we will come to that in a minute. Now, I don't know much about tidal waves, but what little I have read of the tidal wave is that very likely they're produced by either an earthquake or some volcanic eruption on the floor of the ocean that sets the wave off. And the account of which I was reading said that the tidal wave travels through under the surface and not on the surface as a hurricane or a typhoon, but the tidal wave travels under the surface of the water and travels faster even than the wind or anything else that travels on top. And I have read tidal waves destroying entire islands in the South Pacific, and a few decades back one hit Japan and killed tens of thousands of people. Wall of water 15, 20 feet high coming from that tidal wave that's sweeping across the land. Well, I can easily believe that, having been in Okeechobee, Florida, four different occasions, and going around the lake and looking at it. I think somewhere along about 1925, a hurricane swept across there and blew, in fact, all the water out of the lake 2 miles on up to the city of Okeechobee and drowned over 2,500 people. I take a tidal wave. Tidal wave. Look in this 11th verse. The fountains of the great deep were broken up. Only God knows the horror of that experience. And then the windows of heaven were opened, and the water came down. The canopy of water completely encircled the earth, and when it came down, it would fall upon the earth completely around the earth. The rain fell 40 days and 40 nights. The self same day that the rain began, before it began, entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah and Noah's wife. The three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind. You read that and you read that and you read that, you cannot help but know that God is pronouncing a doom to Darwin's theory of evolution. I spent 1 year in Oklahoma A&M studying animal husbandry and cattle judging and kindred subjects. And one expression they used there was evolution within the species, but not outside of the species. That is, you could take a herd of Angus cattle and with selective breeding could build them up into better Angus cattle. The same true of horses and sheep and other things. But there wasn't to be any crossing of fowls, animals, and reptiles, with animals and so forth. Everyone after his kind. Everyone after his kind. Every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah. They went in unto Noah. No trouble. I've heard people say they didn't believe that one man and his wife and sons and their wives could round up all of those beasts and get them in there. Thinking of a day they tried to get a pet go through one gate of a lot. Well, it's but the Lord is working here, and that makes the difference. They went in, day that went in male and female, of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. That ark is a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we meditated very briefly last week, the only entrance into the ark was through a door in the side. The only entrance into the Lord Jesus Christ is through his side, that is, through the shed blood. That riven side from which flowed blood and water. Then when Noah goes into the ark through that one door, then God shuts him in. When I went into the Lord Jesus Christ through faith in his shed blood, then the Lord God Almighty shut me in. He shut me in. When one ever gets a glimpse of salvation by grace and not by works, they have no difficulty with the eternal security of the believer. So they're in and the door is shut. The flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lifted above the earth. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. Now, is that local or universal? All of the high mountains, and that includes Mount Everest, all of them that were under the whole heaven. Were covered. I didn't see any trouble at all. You know, if the flood was local, they didn't need an ark. Noah could have said, fellas, head for the hills. That's all they've been through. The human race pretty well scattered at this particular time. And the animals, the fowls, were pretty well scattered over the face of the earth. And a local flood could not destroy all of them. A local flood wouldn't require the opening of the windows of the heaven, nor the breaking up the fountains of the deep. We had a pretty good sized flood here without the windows of heaven being open. Just what you'd call local showers, thunderstorms, if you choose. When God set out to destroy all flesh from off the face of the earth, it called for a universal flood. Not only that, I've been told that all mountain peaks and ranges around the world reveal evidences of sea life having been there. I've been in the Rockies, but not over 9,000-10,000 feet. But up there, find all kinds of little seashells scattered all through the area. And I've been told by those who've made a study of it that that condition prevails around the world. It's good to be smart, and sometimes it's good to be dumb. And what I mean by that is, I'm reckoned dumb because I have no better sense than to believe everything's in the Bible. And I just thank God I'm that dumb, if that's what it is. Now, personally, I don't think it takes a very smart person to believe God. And I don't think a person who says there is no God is very smart. Because the word of the Lord says the person who doesn't believe there's a God is an idiot. Translated, fool. It's the fool that says in his heart there is no God. And I want you to look at that 19th verse. And the water prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. What was the height of the ship? 30 cubits. And the water was 15 feet higher than the highest mountain. So that as the ark floated, did it come into the area of the highest mountain? It still float over it and not catch on top of the mountain. All flesh died that moved upon the earth, both fowl and cattle and beasts, every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man. Universal death for every living creature on the earth. Some people, every once in a while, someone asks about the fish and the creatures of the sea. You have no record of them dying. I see no occasion for them to die. All in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died. That's rather exclusive and inclusive. All life that was on dry land, showing not in the water. Every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man, cattle, creeping things, fowl of heaven, they destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. Ample time for all of them again. Again referring to that which I've read and that which I've heard. I have read and I've seen pictures of some cave high on the mountain that was filled with bones of many types of animals and living creatures, seemingly attesting to the fact that some extraordinary physical phenomena had caused them to flee and to enter into a cave for safety. You let your imagination run riot. It's not difficult for me to conceive of countless numbers of individuals hanging on to the side of the ark until from sheer exhaustion they failed. Once while I was doing some research work in Moody Library in Chicago, picked up the Monday morning paper and read of a rather large yacht sinking out in Lake Michigan the night before and all perishing but one. And this was a young lady in her late teens. I reckon she swam 4 or 5 miles. She said she was bringing another girl with her. And this girl held to her clothing for several miles. But there came a time to hold on no longer. Within shore. I couldn't hold on. Turned loose and sank. I see the lions and the tigers and the rattlesnakes and other things, all of them fleeing, and human beings, all of them together trying to find safety. Like I said, you can't just let your imagination run wild. Milton, then it's Paradise Lost. Try to picture some of these things. You can't do it. The value of bringing those thoughts to mind and letting your imagination run wild, so to speak, is that might give you a little picture of what's to happen in the future. And the great tribulation burst in all its fury. Every living creature except those on the earth before. I accept the word of God that the only human being left alive after this experience was Noah and his wife and his 3 sons and their wives. I do not subscribe to a view that's current with many so-called theologians and others, that there were many other human beings saved, other areas, other places. And if the human race as we know it today would not be sinned alone from Noah's 3 sons, but many others. There's no scripture for that. None at all. The contention being that all the different races of the world today cannot be sinned from Ham, Shem, and Japheth. But we'll study the 10th chapter of Genesis to give God's account of the origin of these races. You have no trouble at all with it. Now we notice in the 8th chapter, God remembered Noah. And God remembered Noah. One asked me not long ago, didn't ask me, but one told me, said, you know, sometimes I think God has forgotten me. God can forget your sins, but he cannot forget you. God remembered Noah. It should be consolation to every one of us to know of a certainty that God knows exactly where we are right now. He knows all of the attendant circumstances, and that God loves us, and that when it is for our good and for his honor and glory and the further expression of his love, he'll change the condition. God knows. God knows. We need to remember sometimes what Abraham Lincoln said on one occasion when one of his cabinet members said, "I sure hope the Lord's on our side." And he said, "I care not whether the Lord's on our side or not. The thing that matters to me is, are we on his side?" We need to get on the Lord's side. That's all we need. And God remembered Noah. And he hadn't forgotten you. Not only did he remember Noah, but he remembered every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth and the waters were afraid. The fountain also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. And the water returned from off the earth continually. And at the end of 150 days, the water were abated. How long did it rain? 40 days and nights. And if after 150 days, the water was raised and were abated, took 40 days and nights to cover the earth. It took 110 days for the earth to recede, or the water to recede. The ark rested the seventh month, 17th day of the month, upon the mountain of Ararat. Russia claims to have found the ark. I haven't read all of her claims. I wouldn't be surprised if she claimed to have put the ark there. But she claims to have found it. Mount Ararat. You'll find several Mount Ararat, so be careful as to which one you would identify as being the resting place of the ark. The water decreased continued until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. It came to pass at the end of 40 days, Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. Sent forth a raven. It went forth to and fro. The waters had dried up from off the earth. Here you encounter some beautiful symbolism. The ark resting on Mount Ararat. The opening of the window so that all could see and some go in and out. How could the top of the mountains be seen? If the window was closed, maybe Noah peeked out every once in a while. Maybe it had an observation post from which he could see. But he sent forth a raven, and the raven didn't come back. Raven, to many, typifies that which is evil, that which is carnal, that which is fleshly. The raven, being a bird of prey, to find rest upon floating carcasses of animals. Not only rest, but food. The raven never came back. Also sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated off the face of the earth, and the dove found no rest for the sole of earth, but he returned unto him in the ark. For the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her and unto him into the ark. He stayed there another 7 days, and again he sent forth the ark out of the dove out of the ark. The dove came in to him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off so that Noah knew the waters were abated from off the earth. You worried about the tops of the mountains being seen and the dove not resting on them. The tops of those mountains were above the timber line. Anybody here ever been above the timber line in the mountains? No vegetation, no growth at all above the timber line. Some few little odd forms of it, but as bare as it can be. You get up past about 8,000 feet, 8,000, 9,000 feet above that. And no vegetation. And that was the tops of the highest mountains up there. No vegetation, no life, no place. And the dove came back. It came back a second time to have an olive leaf. The dove with olive leaf has long been a symbol of peace. Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. The olives growing down in the lower parts of the earth, not up on the mountainside. For he stayed yet 7 more days, and then he sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him anymore. It came to pass in the 601st year, the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. In the second month, the 7th and 20th day of the month, was the earth dry. One year, 1 month. I have worked on that on several occasions, and you deal with the lunar year and the solar year. 354 days in the lunar year and 365 days in the solar year. 371 days of the solar year is the figure which I came, and that's about in harmony with the rest of them. 371, 375. 1 year, 10 days, make 375. They come off the ark. Now the word of the Lord comes to Noah. Verse 16. Go forth of the ark, thou, thy wife, thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both the fowl and cattle, every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. They may breed abundantly in the earth and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. Noah went forth, his son and his wife, and his son's wife with them. Every beast, every creeping thing, every fowl, whatsoever creepeth upon the earth, after their kind, went forth out of the ark. Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. That's fulfillment, one of the purposes of taking the clean beast and the clean fowl. The Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything that liveth, for I have done. Many of you have sought in vain for this 22nd verse. Year after year, didn't know where to look or where to find it. You thought, as many other people, I've had many people come to me, I've had many people call me on the phone, I've had them write me letters. Brother Wilson, where does it say in the scripture the time is coming? You'll not be able to tell the seasons except for the falling of the leaves or something else. You may know what that is, something. I said, well, that belongs to what we call chimney corner theology. Look what the 22nd verse says. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold, heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. There's going to be winter and summer. There's going to be cold season and hot season. And I can tell when it's cold and I can tell when it's hot. Even here, within the confines of this building, I can distinguish that. And he's talking to me. And there's the verse of Scripture. So there's another. They call an old wife tale. I don't know what that is, but I would call it chimney corner theology. And there we have it. This next chapter is of great import, and I trust it. You'll take that and you'll study it. Those first six verses are great verses. There we have the origin of civil government, the establishment of civil government, and something that one needs to know today, as all around us individuals are seeking to do away with every vestige of civil government. The Father bless this time of fellowship. How we rejoice in these moments together, gathered around our word. We thank thee again for the capacity thou hast given us to believe thy word, because it is thy word. Dismiss us now with thy loving care and tender mercy. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.